Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Jan Wismer gets our discussion started today.
Let's just start right in the very beginning and find out about you. Your mother's here, and I'm going to ask her to add anything she would like to as well. But tell me about your earliest memories in Ecuador.
I remember being very happy in the jungle. I remember playing all the time, wanting to be with little Indian friends. I remember probably best the two houses that, there were several different houses that we lived in, but we lived in one house that my father built that was cement floors and cement walls halfway up and then screen windows. And I remember the, was it aluminum or tin roofs? When it rained, it drummed on the roof, which made it a very enjoyable sound at nighttime going to bed. I had a little room of my own that my mother had a bed built for me, and I remember the coziness of lying in my bed and listening to the rain, and always the screen windows, no glass on the windows, just screen windows, so you could hear the jungle sounds too. That was when we were living with the Quechua Indians. Then when we lived with the Alca Indians, we also had a house not with cement but made out of bamboo, and I remember sometimes the bamboo walls, you could see through the cracks. And if you leaned your arm up against the wall, the bamboo would pinch because it would bend out a little bit and would pinch your skin. I remember that. I remember playing in the river every day. We lived right on the river. I remember an otter that we had for a while, and we used to love watching the otter race up and down the bank. He would race up the bank and slide down a slide into the river and race back up, slide down in the river again. I remember building fires with my friends, pretending that we were playing house, being a family, and cooking little tiny fish over the open fire that we had caught with our hands. I remember eating monkey meat. The Alca men would go out into the jungle and they would kill the monkeys with an arrow that came out of the blowgun. And then the Alcas would put it on a spit over the fire and turn the monkey, and all the fur would get singed off, and then they would take the monkey off of that and put it in a pot and boil it, so it always had slight taste of burnt fur on the skin, on the meat. It was tough red meat. I remember that. I remember drinking chicha, which is an Indian drink made out of manioc. Manioc is kind of like our potato, and the Indian women would boil the manioc and then chew it up and spit it out into a banana leaf and wrap it up and leave it for about 3 days, and then the manioc would ferment with the saliva in it, and then they would put it in a bowl and mix it with water and drink that, and that was our staple drink. I know that my mother had powdered milk that she and I drank all the time, but when I was with the Indians, I drank chicha.
How old were you during these years of living in the jungle?
Well, I was born there. So we lived in the jungle until I was 8. I remember living with the Quechuas when I was 6, 7, and 8, living with the Alcas when I was 3, 4, and 5.
Did you understand what it was you and your mother were doing in the jungle?
I don't remember that I understood why we were there. I knew that my daddy had gone to tell the Alcas about Jesus, and I knew that my daddy was in heaven with Jesus. I don't remember the actual sharing the good news with the Indians, but I do remember some of the Sunday morning services we had with the Indians.
You would say they were rather informal, would you?
Yes, they were informal. Sitting, chattering, talking, the children were noisy.
People getting up to go to the window to see what was going on or to spit out the door.
Elizabeth, what kind of a child was Valerie to rear in the jungle?
Well, I feel that I was very greatly blessed. I had very few worries. And there were very few things that I had to say no to, because in the jungle, it's a very simple life. She had practically no toys. She had maybe one doll and one stuffed toy, and of course the routine scissors and crayons and coloring books and things like that. People would send us things occasionally in the mail. Sometimes those things had to be dropped by parachute when we were in a place where there was no landing, no airstrip. But I really don't remember having very many worries about her. I knew, of course, that there were dangers in the jungle. If she went out to play, she could get bitten by a snake or stung by a scorpion. But my view was, if God has called me to the jungle, then God has called my daughter to be here too. So I had to do what was possible and reasonable to protect her and me. But most of it was simply a matter of turning her over to the Lord and saying, Lord, you're going to have to take care of her. There's no way I can do this.
What kind of reaction did you get from people back in the United States?
Well, especially when we went in to live with the Aucas, who were the Indians that had killed her father, people thought I was out of my tree, that a mother would take a 3-year-old child in to live with a naked tribe of so-called savages. But it was one of the few experiences in my life when I really felt that I was going to have to go against even the opinions of people that meant a great deal to me. You can imagine how our grandparents felt, both the Elliot grandparents and my parents. They were upset, but I wouldn't say that they really opposed me, because they really did believe that I was wanting only one thing, which was the will of God.
Valerie, do you remember any of the languages that you spoke, the Quechua or the Alka?
No, I can remember how they sounded. That's in my memory, you know, the sound of the language. I would be able to tell which was Quechua and which was Alka, but I learned it before I was 10, and linguists or anthropologists say that if you don't keep on speaking it after you're 10, you forget it.
Elizabeth tells some interesting stories about some classic phrases that you would use, and you really did very well being so young and learning the language. Could you tell us some of those, Elizabeth?
When we went to live with the Aucas, I had made up my mind that I was going to keep up with my 3-year-old daughter, assuming that it wouldn't be very difficult because I had studied several languages. I had studied 2 Indian languages and Spanish in Ecuador. I had majored in language in college. I had taken linguistic training at the University of Oklahoma. I had a tape recorder. I had notebooks, and I thought, well, surely I can keep up with a 3-year-old. Well, it was a vain hope. It was very humiliating to discover that there was no way in the world that I could keep up with her. And I remember that among the first phrases that she learned were, huh, come, which means everybody listen to this, when I was struggling to pronounce Alka words. And kiakam, which was a way of getting everyone's attention to come and watch whatever it was that I was desperately trying to do and making a bad job of, things like weaving a hammock or making a clay pot or catching a fish with my hands, none of which I could do. And any 10-year-old Alka child would be able to do those perfectly. So Valerie was right there on the spot saying, everybody get a load of this, kiakam. It was humiliating, to say the least.
Do you remember any of your friends' names that you played with?
Damanta was a little Alka boy. Bai was another Alka boy.
Little girl named Wagging Camel.
I don't remember that one. That's funny. Yeah.
What about schooling? You were school age part of that time that you were in the jungle. Mm-hmm. How did you go about educating her, Elizabeth?
We started with first grade. I decided that Val had plenty to do for kindergarten. She didn't need to be learning clay and sandbox and that sort of thing. She played in the clay and the sand most of the time. So I started her in the first grade using Calvert course. Calvert is a correspondence course that's been going for probably a century or so, often used by military people or diplomatic people overseas, which is an excellent course. You don't have to know anything at all in order to teach it except how to read.
What do you remember about that, Valerie?
I remember struggling to keep my mind on my workbooks. I remember that the Alka children and the Quechua children, I think we started first grade when I was 5, when I was with the Alkas. And at the time we lived in a house without walls, and the children were always around me, and they wanted to know what I was doing. So I remember being distracted a lot, and I think that was one of the reasons my mother had a house with walls built so that we could be away from the children for a period of the morning. I remember sitting at the little table when we did have that house with walls, working on my, whether it was reading or math, and looking out the window and wishing that I could be with the children playing. And then when we lived in the house that my father had built, when we lived with the Quechua Indians, I remember very well the Quechua children standing along the window where they could just reach, just see over the edge into the room. And we had a little tiny room that I was doing my schooling in. And they would wait till my mother left the room, and then they would whisper, "Paledia, Shami," which meant, "Valerie, come." They wanted me to come out and play. And I remember just being distracted continually by them. I'm sure my mother shooed them away a lot. I do remember that we did school in the mornings, and I was free in the afternoon to play.
What was your favorite thing to play?
It would be a toss-up between playing house and playing in the river, just having a great time swimming in the river. I remember when we lived with the Quechuas that there was one part of the river was a, kind of like an inlet. There was a huge rock that we could climb up on top of and jump into the water. And I remember wearing a little yellow slip. I don't know if it was a dress or a slip.
Slip.
And that was my bathing outfit, and jumping from the rock down into the water and trying to hold the slip down while we jumped.
Which is exactly what the Quechuas did, too. The little Quechua girls felt that a slip was the proper attire, and they were quite good at diving
keeping the slip
locked between their knees while they dived.
I remember doing that.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.